This morning's scripture comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
It gives me great pleasure this morning to welcome Carrie and invite her up. She's going to share with us this morning as part of our Sharing Sundays. And I'm really excited to see how God is working in her life. Carrie.
Okay, I'd like to open up in a word of prayer. Okay. Our precious Heavenly Father, we just come before you as a body of Christ, and how I just lift up to you what this time and what I'll be sharing. And Lord, I pray that it is from my heart, and it is from you, Lord, and I thank you for this place, this sanctuary, and our brothers and sisters, and may your words permeate our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Oh, okay. So, some of you may know me pretty well, and some of you are just kind of like, oh, hey, that's Philip's wife or something. But anyways, some of you have known Philip maybe all your lives, all his life, maybe not so much me, but so I thought I'd give you just a kind of like a brief, you know, overview of us and how we work. And we're very similar in some ways, like we're both Christians and we both love the outdoors, but in other ways we're very like complete opposites. And so Philip is the quiet one, and so I guess that makes me the extroverted one. He is athletic, I am pleasantly plump. He's a t-shirt and jeans kind of person. I like to think of myself as the more fashionable one. He's definitely a morning person. I'm a yekwai. And he's a light sleeper. And I sleep like a dead person. And it works, you know, the opposites. And there's one more. I like to think of myself, or I thought myself as the smart one. Now, before you're like, boo, okay. Yeah, like, I went to school a lot more than Philip, and, you know, I try to keep up with the news and things like that, and so I think of myself as the smart one, and it came up on our last vacation, and it was during spring break, and it was much needed, you know, with work and everything. It was a stressful time, and Philip had been gone for weeks at a time and things like that. So it was just a really good time to reconnect, to watch some movies, and actually think. And one night we were watching a movie called The Big Short, and I don't know if many of you saw that or not, but it had Steve Carell, Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling, and it was about the housing market and the big crash in 2007-2008 and what had happened behind it. So if you plan on watching the movie, spoiler alert, one person went to jail at the end of the housing crisis. $8 trillion of value had disappeared from the market. Many people lost their homes. Many jobs were also lost. And Still, there were people out there who made millions, even billions of dollars when the housing market crashed. And when I saw this, like, it made me, like, really mad. And so Philip and I started talking about the political future of America, inflation, hyperinflation, the military, Russia, ISIS, American culture, our family, do we want to bring children into this world? And I started feeling really depressed and worried and powerless and anonymous in this world. And that lasted for about 15 minutes. And, you know, you're like, whoa, wait, what happened? Is it that maybe I didn't really care? I thought, okay, it's not important. You know, what did I say to myself? Did I just throw up my hands and say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it? Maybe I distracted myself by watching YouTube videos of Ninja Cat and cute animal odd couples like the tiger cub raised by the Great Dane. And it wasn't any of that. It was, and I can't even say it was, you know, Philip, you know, that made me feel better. It was really God's words, his promises, his character. And those started to take over my thoughts. And so I want to share with you the verses, and maybe some of the Southern Baptist is coming out, but, you know, like, have your Bibles out, turn to Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6. And we're going to go through maybe about like, oh, I think like, let's see. About seven passages. So in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And that just sounds amazing, you know, that in that time where I felt like I was, you know, like everything in the world's going to happen. And the flesh is going to chase after the flesh, and the things of this world are going to chase after the things of this world. And yet, to be called by Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms, you know, those are God's words and his promises. Okay? The next passage comes from Jeremiah chapter 1. And at the time, like, you know, it was more the words. I didn't actually know where to find these in the Bible, but that's why I wanted to write them down and share them with you. I started remembering Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And even though he's speaking specifically to Jeremiah, just the fact that, you know, he picked somebody, and he knows each one of us and formed us. And before we were born, he knew us. And then again, Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord. And will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." And again, the promise where all of our lives, no matter what we have planned, he has a plan to give us hope and a future. Matthew 10, verses 30. This is one that always comes to mind when I think, you know, there's billions of people in this world, and to know that even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. That is what Christ thinks of us. This is what our Lord thinks of us. Just a few more passages. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. Well, I should also probably, I wanted to mention that, like, Philip and I, that night, we talked for, like, almost 3 hours about, you know, all the things that, you know, are so difficult in this world to understand. And again, it still only took God, like, 10 minutes, if that, to even, you know, lift up my spirits and not cause me to worry. And that's a very difficult thing for me, because I think the more I know about this world and know about what motivates people and maybe have been hurt, I feel like maybe it's just easier to build up walls or to only let in a few people or, you know, protect myself. And that's not from the Bible. You know, it's words of hope, words of encouragement, promises to deliver us from our worries. Not to say that they'll be gone, but that, you know, God is greater than all of those things. So, again, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And the truth is, no, I can't. And it could be, you know, just leave it at that and just, you know, don't worry. You know, live the life you want, YOLO or something like that, right? But God values our lives. And God values our experiences and our love. And so, you know, that's just part that I received from Matthew 6, 25 to 27. And then Romans 8 is an awesome chapter, but I will just pull out a couple of verses from there. Again, Romans chapter 8. And this verse is, describe God's love for us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, how amazing. How amazing. But yeah, if you get a chance to read Romans 8, it's a powerful chapter. Awesome. Okay. And my final verse that I would like to share with you is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verses 18 to 20, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So that's all of us. We are exactly how God wants us to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And if you get a chance to read that, that was all about, you know, what if everybody was an eye? You know, that would freak me out. And what if we were all fingers? Or what if we were all legs? You know, it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't be God's creation. And we need to embrace that. So in verse 27 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And as I was thinking about this, some people popped to mind. You know, what part are you? And it's not saying, like, this is how it is, but to me, I kind of see people like Vince as the biceps. You know, like, how many committees has he been on, right? But, yeah, it's amazing, you know, Vince's service. And Pastor Eva, I think of her as the tongue, because she's small but powerful. And for Joanna, you know, I admire her, like, she's the vocal cords, because she has a huge range of talents, and she can speak to, you know, whole group of little kids, or she can speak to each one of us and, you know, have wonderful, caring conversations. And let's see. Eman, I think of as the eyebrows, because when he's not here, like, you notice it, right? And he's also very expressive, you know? And, like, if you receive his emails or you listen to him, you know, he's just so expressive. And I appreciate that. And Auntie Mabel, I think of as nostrils, because, you know, what the nostrils do is, like, it just warms up, you know, the air around us. And she uses her talents for cooking to help our nostrils appreciate that. And so I think, you know, even though it sounds weird, you know, Auntie Mabel's nostrils, but I think for me, you know, that's who she is. And then for Philip, I should probably share with you what I think of him. It might be weird if I don't. Well, it might be weird if I do. Anyways, okay. I think of Philip like tendons, and that's because he works pretty much like below the surface, you know, but he causes things to move, and so I appreciate that about him. And so there are so many more people I want to mention, and even maybe you're thinking, like, what about me? What am I? Am I an elbow? You know, like, not really big, but try to give a hug without elbows. You know, it's just not going to happen. Or maybe I'm something small and not that noticeable, like eyelashes, but they're so important to protect the eyes. Or you think, oh, you know, I'm just a little toenail or something. And you may not think that's very significant, but have any of you ever stubbed your toe? The toenail protects you. And so I really do look forward to getting to know more of you and as a body of Christ, and to know and encourage you that Christ brought us together. And you're exactly how God made you. And all you need to do is just keep growing and be exactly who God made you to be. And so I'd like to thank Al's challenge to share about what God is doing in our lives. And it's kind of started with, like, Kimmy as well, you know, sharing about her as a teacher. And I really identified with a lot of those things. And so I also want to kind of, like, put forth and reemphasize Al's challenge to each of us to come up and share about what God is doing in your life. And all of the verses, like, from Colossians 3, 12 through 17, I'm going to use that as my closing prayer, because that is my prayer for our church. But also that in verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through songs, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit." You know, I learned all these verses and all these words from Sunday school teachers, from friends who wrote little notes, and from just being in fellowship. And so, you know, don't think that your presence doesn't have significance, because as a body of Christ, you know, every single part is beautiful and wonderfully made. And I look forward and cherish those times that I have with us as a church and in fellowship and with friends and brothers and sisters. And so you have deepened my love for Christ. And so the title of my renewed hope for each day is from that and from these verses and so many more. And from people I didn't even mention, but I appreciate. And so, as a closing prayer, it would be from Colossians 3, 12 through 17, which Chris wonderfully said. And so, if we can join our hearts together now. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us your chosen people. Holy and dearly loved. Teach us and help us to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let us be and bear with one another and forgive each other. And when we have grievances against anyone in our lives, Lord, give us the power and the grace to forgive as you forgave us. And over all of these virtues, Lord, we put on love as a daily prayer and hope, and it continue to bind all of us together in perfect unity. And I pray that the peace of Christ rule in our hearts as members of one body. We are called to peace, and we are thankful. And we pray that the message of Christ dwell in us richly. And may we listen to your teachings and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts, so that whatever we do individually and as a body of Christ, in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks to God the Father through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.